We're going to resume our meeting, and I would propose we start with extractive industries.
Okay, so the board commenced its research project on extractive activities by asking those national standard setters whose staff contributed to the 2010 extractive activities discussion paper to inform the board of any significant developments in extractive activities since the publication of the discussion paper. Additionally, the national standard setters were asked how these changes might affect the research findings of the discussion paper, and if, as a result of these changes, they recommend that the board consider performing additional research. This paper provides an analysis of the feedback received from those national standard setters, along with additional outreach performed by staff. Most feedback was consistent across geographical regions. National standard setters that responded identified several key areas of the extractives industry which have changed since the discussion paper was issued in 2010. So paragraph 12 summarizes observed changes in the risk profile of extractive industry entities. All respondents noted that the risk profile of the extractives entities and the industry in which they operate has become more complex. In particular, respondents highlighted the increasing use of unconventional extractive activities, the increase of new and more complex transactions, an increase in price volatility of minerals and oil and gas, and increased politicization of the industry. Paragraphs 13 to 14 summarize the observation that the transactions within the extractives industry have become more complex. In particular, respondents stated that they had noted an increasing trend for the use of new and more complex transactions, whereby, in their view, the current accounting standards are not clear. Paragraphs 15 to 17 summarize observations regarding the use of reserve and resource classification systems within each jurisdiction. Each respondent noted that there is a legal requirement in place to use a specific reserve and resource classification system within their jurisdiction. Some of these respondents noted that there have been minor updates to their relevant reserve and resource classification systems to better align them to international reporting templates and also improve the quality of reporting. Paragraphs 18 to 19 summarize observations regarding the reporting of other information outside the IFRS requirements. Most respondents noted that additional jurisdictional reporting requirements have been implemented in relation to sustainability, climate, or payments to government. However, these respondents also noted that there was an increasing trend towards integrated reporting in order to avoid the duplication of information. Paragraphs 20 to 29 summarize other feedback from national standard setters and various stakeholders. In particular, almost all respondents stated that, in their view, the main concerns raised by their constituents were not related to IFRS 6 itself, but rather to the application of other existing standards to increasingly complex transactions occurring within the extractives industry. In addition, these respondents noted that feedback from their constituents was also primarily weighted towards requests for additional disclosure rather than issues with recognition and measurement. Based on the feedback, staff propose further research is done to determine the effects, if any, on the topics addressed within the 2010 discussion paper as per paragraph 28. To help us develop our papers for future board meetings, we would like to ask the board for their initial thoughts on the feedback received. Thank you.
Anne.
Siobhan, I'd like to pick up on your last comment that a lot of the feedback you're getting is that it's accounting issues that the extractive industry are experiencing. So I think at some point, either when you come back to us with education or when you start working on the scope, we need to understand our thoughts around, do we actually need an extractive industries standard, which would be an industry standard, something we don't normally do, or are we just addressing issues that come out of this particular group of companies who have activities in this area? Because if we think about IFRS 6, it does require the use of all the other standards except IAS 38. So it would seem to me we've got a number of questions that we need to address that come out of IFRS 6, like would it be better that people followed IAS 38 when they're thinking about their development expenses and exploration and so forth. So we've got that. We've also got the issue you touched on about the disclosures, about the reserves, how anything we've got interacts with all these national disclosure requirements. Big question. And then the third thing is the thing you're mentioning, which is to do with requests around how the accounting should be working, be that accounting for under 15 or 16 or 11. So it would seem that there's quite a number of areas that need to be thought about. And I don't really see that in paragraph 30. I think that you know about these issues, but they don't really come across when you say to me, I'm going to do further research in these areas, or we're going to research these areas. I think we need a better framework of how where the issues are and how they relate to each other.
If I may, can I just... get that on. If I could just respond to that, I mean, certainly that in terms of the further work that the staff are going to be doing that we're illustrating in the paper, one of the things that we do want to do is look at those issues that we've heard from this feedback, that we've heard from outreach that we've done as well, and try to analyse those issues between, as you say, is it just an application of a particular standard and this industry just finds it difficult for whatever reason to apply that? Or actually, and that might be a category of those issues, but there may also be a category of issues whereby actually the complexity that this industry faces is to do with the nature of exploration and evaluation expenditure, something that's in scope of IFRS 6. And it's the nature of that expenditure that might cause some difficulty in applying IFRS to those activities. And we want to sort of analyse those issues to come back with a better idea when we talk about scoping, along with all the other feedback that we've and work that we'll be doing. When we talk about scoping, is to look at those issues and see, as we think about how narrow or wide the scope should be, whether there are certain of those issues that do warrant a further look in the research project itself.
Thanks, Tim.
Daryl.
So a couple of questions. The feedback feels a little bit confusing in the way it's come through, which is not unusual because we're hearing it from multiple different sources, I guess. But the one side we seem to hear from what seems to be a number of respondents that we should be focusing on disclosure and that a disclosure approach makes the most sense at this stage. At the same time, there seems to be an indication that the industry level disclosure requirements and reserve requirements are already meeting the objective. So I wasn't sure what disclosure it was that they were thinking about, if they felt that the disclosure was the one thing that was working. The focus under IFRS 6, or the focus that I gathered here, is that we don't need to do anything under IFRS 6, it's working. I wasn't sure, though, whether that meant that people felt that it was being applied at the moment in a consistent basis, or whether there's actually a feeling that people are ignoring what comes through from IFRS 6 anyway, so it doesn't matter whether we do something about it or not. And I think that reflects to a certain extent my understanding that a lot of the analysts in this sector tend to take a forward-looking view rather than a number-focused view. And so I think it would be useful to understand that apparent contradiction. And then I think the focus on other issues, where people are saying that there's a lot of other things affecting the valuation of property and all of that sounds to me like those are recognition and measurement issues. But the sort of end note of saying disclosures is a focus seems to contradict that view. And then the last thing I wanted to just get a feel for, I think I asked you in the last meeting about our interaction with investors. Do we have a feeling of what investors feel about this sort of feedback? Because, as I say, for me, there seemed to be a lot of contradictions in the feedback, and it felt to me like people were looking for the least onerous outcome in terms of changes to what they do right now. And I just wondered whether that was also sort of commonly heard from an investor perspective, where this is primarily a standard setter stroke preparer perspective.
So to respond to those comments, I mean, I think possibly part of the confusion of the feedback could also be because actually this is one piece of the jigsaw that we're providing you with some information now about, and there are obviously questions that trigger, but all of that information is not necessarily there, and I think that's what we intend to bring to you when we talk about scoping, whereby the feedback that we've had from the national standard setters, the feedback that we had on the discussion paper in 2010, feedback that we get from investors, and I'll touch on that in a moment, we will bring all, and also the further work that the staff are preparing, we will bring that all back to a meeting where we discuss scoping. And I think some of the contradictions that you might see and some of the questions that some of this feedback raises, I hope that the other elements of the work that we'll do and the other elements of feedback that we have will sort of help to explain some of those contradictions and to give some better context to them. So there is an element that this is just one piece of the information package that we'll be providing to you, along with the education sessions that we also want to provide to sort of develop further the board's understanding of extractive activities themselves and the discussion paper. On investors, yes, we are planning, and we have started to do some outreach activity with investors, because again, that's a really important piece to bring to that scoping discussion, which is to understand what the problem is, whether there is a problem that needs to be solved. And so we're asking investors, users of the accounts, what problems they face in dealing with entities that have extractive activities, to better understand the problem that we need to solve. And we're actually going to CMAC, I forget now, is it next week, CMAC? Yes, so next week we'll be asking CMAC some of those questions. And I think in terms of your observations on disclosure and some of the contradictions around that, that is definitely something that is something that will feed into that scoping question, because there is a school of thought that does say, is, you know, the financial statement information, the balance sheet information, or the expense information around exploration and evaluation expenditure, whether it be assets or expense, how relevant is that to users? There is a question around that. And actually, is it the disclosure, the reserves and resources, that is the most important, you know, piece of information that users use? And I guess that's what we're trying to find out from our outreach with CMAC and other targeted users that we'll speak to.
John Bull.
Thank you. Generally, I agree with your analysis and next steps. But I would like to suggest one maybe thought on your next steps. For example, on C&D, a kind of external classification and definitions of reserves and resources. Another thing is transparency and sustainable reporting. These two things are quite special to this extractive activities industry. So, with the previous standard IFRS 17, it's also quite regulated in, you know, industry activities, but we didn't see any kind of this kind of some regulatory intervention. And on the transparency and sustainability issue, also integrated reporting too. So to include this kind of good ideas in maybe in future extractive activity, if we can make a standard, then we might need a kind of a connection between the primary users' needs on some kind of information on this and the other external regulation. So we can include many things without some kind of acceptance by our stakeholders if we can show there is a connection. So that's maybe quite similar to what Daryl's, you know, we need to think about some users, primary users' needs on this all kind of information. So that's very nice, you know, so this is a quite maybe some exciting area. We can maybe expand our financial reporting into more integrated reporting under this kind of a new title of the activities.
Mary.
I might be a bit of a provocateur here. It's easier in the early stages of a project. And one of the things I wanted to mention to think about is IFRS 6, and you know the feedback you have in here. And the other is thinking about the challenges the industry is facing in terms of applying existing IFRS standards in light of their growing complexity. On the IFRS 6 point, you know, the feedback is, don't worry, IFRS 6 is working fine. You don't need to do anything with it. But IFRS 6 was intended to be a temporary standard because we didn't want to take the time in the run-up to 2005 to make a final determination of the treatment of what were, in essence, research and development costs for this industry. So a standard went out that said, this is the only area of activity that we identified might be special to the extractive industries. We're going to put out an interim standard that says, you can do a range of things, pick a policy, disclose what that policy is, and do it. So I think getting the feedback that says, don't worry, you don't have to do anything with IFRS 6 because it's working fine, we shouldn't get distracted by that because I think our objective should be to replace or withdraw IFRS 6 with either a single approach or saying, you know, we take the time, we do the research and conclude that we don't need any special treatments with it. So I have some skepticism about the problem isn't IFRS 6. You can just leave that as is and focus more on disclosure. The other thing is, again, maybe drawing on some of the experiences with IFRS 17, maybe inspired by Andrea's presence at the table. You know, a group of issues that we've been dealing with IFRS 17 is entities that found themselves saying, I didn't know I'd be captured by the insurance standard because this is my product and this is what I do in my business. I didn't set out to write insurance. And I think we may be seeing some of that, which is very natural, the other way around here, in that entities may be saying, I'm getting into these increasingly complex arrangements, whether it's investments for development or how I sell my product. And they're trying to answer that within, you know, the realm of their industry, as opposed to recognizing that they might be crossing a line to the point that they have in this instance. I'm not saying they have insurance, but what they might be having is, for example, entering into financial instrument contracts. If, let's say, you have certain variability, you agree to take on certain risks with respect to forward pricing. And I think, you know, one of the things that we should be doing is trying to highlight when you have something that is within the scope of an applicable standard. And if you're entering into very complex transactions and very complex structures, I'm not surprised that it is difficult to work through the accounting for those because it involves lots of moving pieces. But it doesn't say to me that we should be automatically trying to come up with a simplified accounting approach for things that are very inherently very complex and might involve a lot of risk sharing and different kinds of compensation depending upon a whole number of moving parts. So when I look at the feedback, I don't have, apart from regarding disclosure, my only comment is, let's not go wild and overboard, given everything we've been doing in looking at Siobhan in the disclosure area. But certainly thinking about that could be quite relevant. I think our stated objective should be to replace IFRS 6. And that may be a withdrawal or it may be something that's tailored. And I, you know, following up on Anne's point, we were contemplating setting out to do an industry-specific standard for all types of activities. I think the question is, have we identified any other issues that are industry-specific that would have to be included in anything we did in connection with looking at IFRS 6? or are we just seeing that this industry is getting into increasingly complex transactions, which will pose problems because they are complex transactions, but they aren't new or novel accounting challenges, and pushing them to think about what the applicable standards are, even if they are standards that they don't normally think of applying.
And
pick up on Mary's first point, when we hear this feedback that IFRS 6 is working okay, well, in terms of the policy choice about the exploration, evaluation and development expenditure, because of the way 6 was set to grandfather in any prior practice, people can do exactly what they want. And we know there's huge diversity. So if our concern is about diversity in practice, we know within that there's a lot of diversity. And because they can do whatever they want with their capitalisation, with less restrictions than, for example, exist in 38, so they are not going to complain. And then on the investor side, we do hear that they use cash flow statements and disclosures about reserves. So again, they might say 6 is fine for us because we ignore whatever's been capitalised on the balance sheet anyway. So that's the kind of environment that we're working with, I think.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Continue with primary financial statements. Steph's not here yet.